This evening I want to speak to us about something which is really God's been speaking to us as a broader shofar body for quite some time. Most of you know our purpose statement speaks about reaching nations and generations through leadership development, disciple making, and church planting. And obviously part of our mandate, part of what we need to do is we need to spend time on developing and training leaders, raising up leaders, because as we say at the Foundation 2 seminar, the community course, every Christian has been called to lead. If nothing else, to lead others to Jesus. But to be leaders in our workplace, to be leaders in our families, to be leaders in our classrooms, to be leaders in the world. And leadership is about a lot of things. Leadership is obviously about vision, about keeping it out in front there, where we're going, direction. Leadership is about servitude. It's about washing the feet as Jesus showed us. It's about inspiration and encouraging. It's about lifting people up. But leadership is also very much about people management. It's our second core value, people to serve. It's about being able to take individuals and to trust God for them to bring out the best in them for the purposes of God. To develop those people, to manage those people, to bring those people in and to steward them. That's what leadership is all about, stewarding the people that God would entrust with. Jesus is a fantastic leader, obviously. When he walks, Scripture always speaks about the multitudes who followed him. Those multitudes are referred to as disciples. Within those multitudes of disciples, there were the 70. Within those 70, there were the 12. And within the 12, there were the 3 who were sort of Jesus' inner circle. And part of Jesus' leadership was in managing that team that traveled with him. Part of Jesus' leadership was being able to take Peter and to understand Peter's strengths and Peter's weaknesses. Andrew spoke about it powerfully last week, that Andrew, one of the disciples, we don't read about much, but was an integral part of Jesus' team. Andrew was an integral part of, he wasn't the guy, Peter was the guy always jumping up and down, saying stupid things, having his mouth run away with him. Andrew was the guy behind the scenes many times. And Andrew was actually the guy, Andrew was Peter's brother. Andrew was actually the guy who led Peter to Jesus, literally. He went to Peter and he said, "We have found the Messiah, come and see him." And he went and fetched Peter and he brought him to Jesus. And Andrew was one of the 12. And as we study Scripture, we see Timothy was a very different character to Peter, who was different to Andrew, who was different to John. And this evening I'm wanting us to speak a little bit about this people management thing. Those of you who've been around us will know that most of us in leadership are passionate about sport. We love sport. And I thank God for the time I could spend in sport when you go into ministry. Just for those of you who would like to. Can I just, as a totally random question, how many of us sitting here this evening are open, not saying you definitely will, but you're very much open to going into full-time ministry, full-time work for a church for the purposes of God? See by a show of hands. To me, that just testifies of a complete devotion to God. But for you who raise your hands, let me just say, weekends, they don't really happen anymore. I used to play a bit of sport, and the first thing that had to go was cricket, because cricket takes a lot of time. Those of you who played cricket, a short game is a whole day. Okay, a long game is a couple of days. So that had to go out the window at varsity. And then when I moved up here, the hockey had to go out as well. Hockey is played every weekend. In Cape Town, they got this thing right at least. Hockey is played on Friday evenings and Saturday mornings. So you can play. Except it's in the middle of the winter. And you play on wet. Those of you who played hockey, you play on wet stuff. They actually got these big massive sprinklers and they make it wet on purpose. And Cape Town in the winter is cold. So Friday night, 9 o'clock is not the best time to run around on this wet stuff. But anyway, God is good. You can play when you move up to here. Then people think Sundays are days for hockey, which doesn't really work so well if you're like doing what we're doing in church life and all of that stuff. But anyway, we like sport and I thank God so much for the privilege I had of being part of team sport. Team sport teaches us so much about life and about who we are. And as I said, it's one of the references that we refer to often. And most of you probably won't know this name. The real rugby enthusiast will remember the name Kitch Christie. By the privilege of having his son in residence with me, Kitch Christie was probably South Africa's best rugby coach we've had so far. He was the coach in the 95 World Cup. Most of you will remember that, the airplane. You guys remember the big airplane? And Joel Stransky, who played 30 seconds a while ago. The funny stuff comes out in 30 seconds. And the answer was Joel Stransky. And it was two girls and some guys on the team. And the one girl said, soccer player scored a good goal. And the answer came, Joel Stransky. I don't know how that works. But anyway, sometimes ladies are on the same page and the rest of us are just, how? But Kitch Christie was the coach of that team. Unfortunately, he's passed away due to cancer. But he never lost a game as a coach. Every game that he coached for South Africa won that game, all 11 games that he was in charge of South Africa. And if you speak to Francois Pina or Joost van der Westhuizen, who we realize now is all the years playing for the wrong team. He actually should have been playing for the Cheetahs. But anyway, sorry, Joost. Some of you will get that a bit later. Kitch Christie, and if you read, speak to the guys and read the books of those who are in the team, will say that maybe Kitch Christie wasn't the best rugby strategist. Maybe he wasn't the most amazing rugby brain about it. But Kitch Christie had an ability to pull the best out of every person in his team. Kitch Christie was a people manager of note. And I remember watching when I used to have DSTV, before I had to divorce my DSTV to marry my wife, which was a good decision, very good decision. But anyway, late night, I was watching one of these DSTV specials about the Rugby World Cup, and there's some captains on there. And they were just speaking about Kitch Christie and how he'd arrive at a practice furious after something that had happened. Or at halftime, he'd shout at the one player, and the guy sitting right next to him, who was messing up more than the guy he was shouting at, he'd just give a word of encouragement. And then he'd try to look at the other guy and say, come, I know you better than that. And the other guy, he'd go off and he'd swear at the next guy again. Such an understanding of exactly what each player needed for him to go out onto the field and to be the best that he can be again. And that is, a lot of leadership is about that. And for the zone coaches, we're really trusting God to make this part of the way we just do church, to be able to know what is every person's heart, to be able to know, how do I speak and how do I bring out that which God has put inside every individual. And this evening I want us to look at that a little bit in a practical way. Because if we want to embrace the body, as we're going to look at just now, we need to understand that within the body, the person sitting next to you is different to you. He's got different gifts, different strengths and different weaknesses. And you cannot embrace his gifts, or rather, let me put that another way, you cannot be a leader to somebody unless you first embrace the gifts. You cannot utilize that gift in a leadership context unless you first come to the place of embracing it. If I go back to the Kitch Christie example, Kitch Christie wouldn't have been able to, we all love to hate Joost now, but when he played, we all loved to love him. He was a brilliant player. But Kitch Christie wouldn't have known the value that Joost brought to the team if Christie didn't understand the gift and the ability that Joost had. The same with Joel Stransky, Chester Williams, or Grobus Visser, who was also in that team. Anyone who's ever stood next to him, he's scary big. And even now, because he's fat, so now he's scary big and fat, and that's not a good combination. But as a leader, it's important that we embrace the different gifts God has placed within people. And the challenge many times is when we look at somebody, we see they are different to the way we are, and we immediately think they are wrong because they are different. We immediately think God can't use them because they're not like me. And what we need to understand this evening, and I thought it would be short, but I haven't even got to the first scripture, so maybe I'm deceived. But you're all on holiday, so it's fine anyway. Just want to trust God to bring us to a place where we embrace the gifts that God has placed around us. The people, the individuals, and in cell context, we want to move more to this place where we allow different people to flow in their different gifts and their different abilities. Just to think something about leadership. Leadership is about people. Anyone who wants to disagree about leadership being about people, I can just use a simple example. You know what we call a leader without anybody following him? A fool going for a walk. I can be a great leader in my own mind, but the problem is if there's no one following me, then I'm not a leader. Then I'm a guy on my own tangent, going on my own walk, and I may be having a fantastic time, but I'm not leading anybody or leading anything. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, scripture I hope we all know well. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren and ladies, don't feel left out, please. I do not want you to be ignorant. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And just here we see a beautiful manifestation of the Trinity. We see that there are diversities of gifts, gifts of the Spirit. We'll look at that just a little bit later. Then there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord who is Lord. Obviously, Lord is a title that we give to Jesus. So there are differences of ministries, but they all come from Jesus. And then there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God. God obviously referring to the Father, so we would call in Christian language and in Christian literature the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts which are the word one that use gifts there. There are differences of ministries, which we refer to as the gifts of Jesus. And then there are diversities of activities, which are the gifts of the Father. The first word, gifts, there, and please, if you're not really into Bible school stuff, just pause very quickly, just switch off. You can turn on just now. But I just need to give us a bit of background. That word, gifts, used there, is the word charisma. And just interesting, the word charis means joy. So this flows out of joy, or these gifts, and it brings a sense of fulfillment and joy inside of it. And it literally means a favor which one receives without any merit of his own. Like almost my birthday, not soon, almost 2.5 weeks or something that I've encountered, something like that. It would be my birthday. And you know, on that day, because you are all such blessed people, you're going to bring me something. They say faith without hinting is dead. Okay, so last year, I didn't need to hint, and I was blessed very much. Some friends clubbed together and brought me a fantastic present. And you know what? It was exactly that. A gift. The first verse is there. A favor which I received without any merit of my own. I didn't do anything to have a birthday. I just happened to have a birthday. It's a function of my existence that I have a birthday. Ladies, a function of your existence is you will always have a birthday. Sorry to inform you, but you will keep getting older. Okay. It's a gift of divine grace. It's a gift of faith, knowledge, holiness, virtue, etc. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. And if you just carry on reading in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul goes on to list them. And if you want to know more about them, come to the Perspective Seminar, or especially to Bible school. Then the word ministries, which is spoken about, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. It speaks about the word diakoneia, means service or ministering, especially of those who execute the commandments of others, or the commands of others. Of those who by the command of God proclaim and promote religion among men. And it speaks about servitude, serving others. And here when you read, I've actually got the verse up, I think, I hope. Just skip one, sorry, my slide order is wrong. Go on, one more, go on. Put the slide order wrong, one more, next verse. No, I killed it. Okay. Is there not Ephesians 4? There we go. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. This is Jesus giving to his church, and this is exactly those ministries, those gifts that it's speaking about. Jesus gave them for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and at Bible school and the share seminar, we spent quite a lot of time about that. My job is not to do the work of the ministry as such. Heinrich's job is not to do the work of the ministry as such. Our primary job is to equip the saints. That's you. You're a saint. Turn to a neighbor and say, you're a saint. If you know their name, say, Saint Barry, Saint Ed, Saint Calvin, St. Stephen. But to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. A saint just means a sanctified one. A saint refers to somebody who's been saved by the grace of God. So my job is to equip you for the work of the ministry so that you can build up the body of Christ until we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the treasure of the statue of the fullness of Christ. So that refers to the gifts that Jesus gives to His body. And in the church, we normally understand those two areas of giftings. We understand in the charismatic church, and that's where the word charismatic comes from the word charisma, which means gift. So a charismatic church, very simply, it's actually a blessed name because it means you believe in the gifts of the Spirit. You understand that the Holy Spirit is here to heal, to save, to restore, to do the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the definition of a charismatic church. And then the ministries, I think we all understand that God has appointed people beforehand. Wasn't my decision. God decided that this is what I must do. And in that, it makes me a gift to this body. It doesn't make me more special than any other gift to the body, but it's a gift that Jesus has given to His church, ordained within His church, to bless His church, to build up His church. And that's exactly what Ephesians 4 teaches us. And then the one I want us to spend a little bit of time on this evening, activities. There are diversities of that. There are diversities of activities. And that word is a great word. Energema. Something like that. Energema. Okay, practice. Say to your neighbor, energema. Okay? A new word. It's a Greek word. And it basically refers to something that's being done. The thing wrought, an effect of operation, and that word in itself comes from the word which is easier to pronounce, energeo, like an energizer bunny, to be operative, to be at work, to put forth power, to work for one, to aid one, to effect, to make it happen, to display one's activity, show oneself operative. And this is something that every one of us are born with. We call them the gifts of the Father, or alternatively said, the motivational gifts. Those things that God has placed inside every one of us when we were born with. Just as an example, one of the things that I was born with, my mom tells all these funny stories, but I was born with funny feet. And they had to operate when I was really small. And you know I was really small because the gaps between the stitches now were this big on my both feet where they operated, because there was a little cut that was only about that big, and now the gap between the stitches are that big. The scars have just grown, and they had to operate when I was really small, and then they stuck a pole between my legs, and from here down I was in a cast. And I told my mom for 3 months or however was long it was, I can't remember, but anyway, they told my mom, sorry, but he's not going to be able to move, he's just going to, wherever you put him down, that's where he's going to be. And like, where do you find a dog with no legs? Exactly where you left it, okay? And I was going to be a little bit like that. My mom would find me exactly where she left me, and my mom was a little bit concerned because apparently by that time I was already a bundle of energy and I couldn't sit still. And just a day or two afterwards, my mom had put me down somewhere and left out of the room, and I came on my hands waddling along with these big plaster of Paris casts. And from that day, my mom just said, something about me is, you cannot put me down. Something that God has placed inside of me. It's not something I learned. It's not something that happened to me that I decided to happen. It just doesn't matter what the situation is. I'm going to see something good in the situation and hold on to that. You can irritate the living daylights out of my friends. If we're 5-0 down in the hockey game and there's 2 minutes left, because we can still win this. Don't ask me how. Just now when I last checked the score, we were like, England were busy clapping us. Something inside of me said, don't turn the radio off, we can still win. I doubt it. I don't know, did we lose? Did we lose? I thought so. Flippin' South Africans, we beat us. There should be a law against this in international sports. South Africans are not allowed beating South Africans. Who top scored for England?
Kevin Peterson. No, not him. The other guy. Jonathan Trott. The Collingwood top scorer. Okay. See, this is what happens when you turn off easy. But anyway, they've got 14 players in the team. And they decided this year they're going to save a lot of money on hotel bills and accommodation. They're just all going to stay with family, because of the 14 in the team, 5 were born in South Africa. That's just wrong, don't you think? How can you have a team playing for England, but we're all South African? It's a bit like the Beast. He doesn't even have a South African passport. But anyway, we won't go there. Just in case somebody didn't know, there's a South African in the South African team, but he's not South African, we realize. He doesn't have a South African passport or ID document or anything, but he's playing for South Africa. But anyway, Africa's one big continent. Who really cares what country he's from? He scrums well, and we need them. Okay. But that's enough sport for today. Every one of us, inside of us, we've got different gifts. We've got different abilities, and leadership involves and requires that we make an effort to understand the different gifts that God has placed around us. And as we're going to see tonight, those gifts are what bring value and importance into our lives. So, it's a motivational gift. It's something that you and I are born with. We've all seen it. We all understand it. It's a great example. Please don't be offended, but to understand that this is the blessing, the way that God has made it. If I had a company and I had accounts and finances to be kept, I'm not going to get an artist to look after my finances. Anybody who can say amen to that? Any artist who can say amen? Why not? It's not going to work. Why not? The artist wasn't designed to focus on the detail. In the same way, I'm not going to get a typical CA engineer type person to come up with creative ideas. Please, you can be offended later, but for now, just listen. Ask your friend if I'm right or not. There are certain gifts and things that are placed inside of us, and it's important for us to make a peace with that. It's important for us to make a peace with the fact, if you're artistic, God has made me creative and artistic. And yes, there is an area of weakness that I need to grow in, because there are areas where detail is important. But I don't need to spin my head for the rest of my life worrying about detail. I can feel free and relax in who God has made me to be. If you're a detailed person, embrace it. Thank God that He has made you, because you know what? We need people like you in this world. We need people every way God has made you. And it's so important when we come to that point where we understand this is how God has made me. I don't need to imitate anybody, be like anybody else. I can be me. And inside of me, God has set a unique gift, a unique set of gifts and abilities and functions that I can perform. And leadership, very much. I said we're going to speak a little bit about leadership development. Leadership is about seeing those gifts within people and putting them to the right tasks. Seeing this person is going to be the best looking after the finances. This person is going to be the best designing the poster. My Calvin is just finishing his chemical engineering degree this week, as part of his final chemical engineering degree. You know what he had to do? He had to design a poster. I would love to know the logic behind it. Because he's going to go work for a company, and that company spends millions of rands each year on people to design posters. You don't get the chemical engineer to design the poster. You get the poster people to design the poster. Because the poster people know what a poster should look like. So why on earth, in your last, one of your final big projects that you have to do is design a poster, goes beyond me. I don't know, maybe the intellectuals have a good idea that I don't. But part of leadership is taking and matching giftings and abilities to functions, with an understanding that different people have been called to perform different functions, and together with that, different people have different styles of doing things. Can just imagine Jesus with the kid. That must go a lot quicker. But anyway, Jesus coming with the kid, and the kid brings the bread to Andrew, which we spoke last week. 5 little pieces of bread, 2 pieces of fish. He gives it to Jesus, and Jesus blesses it. Then Jesus gives it to his disciples. I'd love to see the DVD, what happened there. Because I'm sure every one of those 12, as they went and broke the bread and the fish and handed it out to the groups, every one of them did it differently. Every one of them had their style, their mannerism. Some of them probably walked around and didn't say anything. They were just handing it out. What, 10,000 people here, must get food, hurry up, you know. They were in that mode. Peter probably only got to a tenth that the other disciples got to, because he was speaking to every person, encouraging. Do you want a little bit more, my son? Or this is the best piece. You're going to enjoy this. And you know, none of them were right or none of them were wrong. They were probably just being themselves. And part of leadership requires that we need to create space for different people to have different styles, different giftings, different abilities manifesting in different styles. As I mentioned, leadership requires matching the correct person in terms of their function inside of them and their style to the required task. We see in Romans chapter 12, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." We're going to look at that a little bit later. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." Let me just pause there. The gift that God has given to you, use it. Please don't hide it. Please don't put it away. Please don't think that your gift isn't worth anything. Your gift doesn't add value. Use your gift. And many of you have seen, we've begun just trusting God to make this a reality within our small groups. And we're going to place a lot of emphasis on this in our small groups in the next while, and really trust God for our zone coaches to grasp this thing, to become coaches in that sense of the word, to be like Kitch Christie, to be able to see every gifting. You should be playing in this position. Henny LaRue, I know you've been playing fly half for your province all along, and I was a coach on that, but let's forget about that. In this team, you must play inside 10. Score one of the best tries in the World Cup. And then they would change the rules so South Africa couldn't do that anymore. That's different, okay? The flank wasn't allowed breaking off after that try. But anyway, for those of you who remember that, it was a good try. Anyway, that's your gifting. That's the place where you are going to add the most value, not only to yourself and have the greatest sense of fulfillment, but that is where you're going to add the most value to us as a body. That is where you are going to bring life the most. And as zone coaches, we're going to trust the Lord for those zone coaches to be able to see through the eyes of God and to bring those gifts out of people, to position people in the right place. Some people are going to be great evangelists but useless self-facilitators. Some people are going to be great self-facilitators but bad zone coaches. And we need to trust God to have the right people in the right place with understanding of different gifts. Use them. You as an individual, use them. But you as a leader, what does that make your responsibility? Develop them. Create room and space where people can use their gifts. As a leader, place people in somewhere where they're required to stretch their gifts just a little bit more. Don't quench those gifts. Don't flatten them. Don't say, no. Your gift isn't good enough. Trust the Lord to embrace everyone's gift, to see the value that every one of those gifts adds. So, as an individual, use that gift. As a leader, develop those gifts. Trust God to develop the gifts of the people that God places around you. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. On that point, I want to thank the many of you who really give liberally to the cause of God. It's so incredible to me that, for example, the first year of camp, we do subsidized quite heavily because it's expensive to go away, and we want the first years to come so we can minister to them, and we don't want to charge them R1,000 away for 3 days. So we subsidize the camp quite a lot, and you make it possible. And I want to thank you, the many of you who really give so liberally. God bless you, and I know that He does, but I pray that He'll continue to doing that. He who gives with liberality, He who leads with diligence. If you want to be a leader, I have a good news for you. You're going to have to work. What's the opposite of diligence? Starts with an L. Laziness. You cannot be a lazy leader. There is no such thing as a lazy. If you want to lead, you've got to be diligent. Hard work is a requirement for leadership. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, we read this. I just want to read it again. Hope that means a little bit more to us now. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Then I want us to read a passage from the Message translation, which is actually an incorrect terminology. It's not the Message translation as such, it's a paraphrase, which means that please don't use the Message Bible to study Scripture. Please don't take the Message Bible to try and figure out doctrine, because the Message Bible is not for that purpose. We're going to look at it now just to convey an idea and a concept in general, and for that the Message Bible many times is good. It's not always good. Sometimes Eugene Peterson is the translator. Sometimes he really hits the nail on the head. Sometimes he misses it, because obviously there's a lot of interpretation involved in the translation. And in this bit, I think he got it. So towards the end, there's going to be a bit I'm just going to brush over, because it might confuse you, because it's very unclear and seems to contradict the doctrine that we teach. But if you go and you go look at that in a good Bible, a New King James or New American Standard Version or one of those, you'll see it's very clear, and Eugene Peterson just misses it a bit right at the end. I just want to say that so you don't get confused. But I love the picture it paints here in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read quite a piece of scripture here. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. This evening we speak about embracing the body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of His one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life in which He has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. So what did you do when you baptized? You said, my life isn't so important anymore. I'm not calling the shots anymore. I'm leaving my piecemeal life. I'm being part of a big integrated body. And God now has the final say in everything. Each of us is now a part of His resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, the Spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. But I want to pause there quickly, because this is something we're going to have to understand going forward. That when we come to Christ, yes, we are still Afrikaans or English or Khoza or Zulu or Pedi, but all of that is secondary to I'm Christian. And it's so important that we embrace that when we come to Christ, we step away from a specific culture. Scripture calls us a new holy nation, where my being of my family isn't nearly as important to me as me being of the family of God. Me being of a certain tribe or a certain nation or a certain historical heritage is very much secondary to me being a Christian. And in every place where there's a conflict between me being Christian and my culture from which I hail, if I'm a Christian, then I'm a Christian, first and foremost, before I'm anything else. And it's important for us to understand this as we go forward and as we trust God for a multicultural church. And I thank God that we are beginning to move in that direction, because that's what He would have us be. Neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free. None of that is useful anymore. What are you? Are you Pedi? Are you Afrikaans? I'm Christian. what language do I speak? I'm petty. When it comes to the way I live my life, yes, I've got this petty or whatever traditions I happen to have, but all of them are very much secondary to the fact that I'm part of the family of Christ. And I just want to mention that it's important, whether we are Afrikaans or whether we Sotho, whatever, none of that is important. What's important is that we are of Christ. And that's going to bring in challenges going forward practically when it comes to the songs we sing. Some of us are saying that we don't sing songs in my language in the evening because I'm Afrikaans and I want to sing an Afrikaans song. You know what? With all due respect, when we come to church, we're not Afrikaans or English anymore. And later on, when we're going to start singing African language, if I can use that terminology, songs, Khoza or Zulu or whatever, some of us are going to say, I don't understand. Well, learn. Because we need to understand that we need to embrace the manifold wisdom of God, the full multicultural aspect, and that's going to challenge some of our paradigms a little bit, but I'm excited about going there. We need something larger, more comprehensive. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. I'll say that again. All of this coming together as a body, my piece, the little piece, the little gift that I am, I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. You go to this picture. We were watching this video, that movie the other day on TV. See, when he kissed the STD goodbye, and you get rubbish movies. And there was this Zoom movie, Academy of Superheroes. And the one kid, his superpower was he could blow up his body. So he'd like get all excited and all of a sudden his foot would be kind of the size of that wall. And he'd calm down and his foot would shrink again. That was his superpower. What on earth? But anyway, SABC movies, praise the Lord. Okay. A body isn't just a single part like that guy blown up into something huge. It's all different. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If foot said, I'm not elegant like hand, embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to this body. Would that make it so? If ear said, I am not beautiful like eye, limpid and expressive, I don't deserve a place in the head, would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could it ear? Yeah. If all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where He wanted it. And I want to remember the very first bit before we carry on. What does it say? All of this we can understand, speaking about the body of Christ, by looking at our own body. So I want to read this last sentence again in context of understanding the body of Christ. I want you to think about, sorry, as it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where He wanted it. As we read, I'm going to list three, maybe four hindrances to us growing in our gifts and embracing the gifts of the people around us. The first one is not being where God has placed us. Not having embraced the body, not being positioned where the rest of the body can give us significance. Some of us are outside of the body wanting to do our own thing, and we're not in that place where the rest of the body can build into us and feed us. If you want to imagine one little cell running away by itself, you know what? That cell is going to die pretty quick. Because it needs the mouth and the digestive system and the heart and the blood which the heart pumps and the oxygen which the lungs breathe to put into the blood which the heart pumps to get to that cell, to keep that cell alive. And some of us want to be like that little cell and we say, yeah, the body is cool, but I'm here. Yes, the body of Jesus is there, but the body of Jesus is for other people. Yes, for other non-dying people. One area in which we need to understand if we want to grow in our gift and embrace the gifts of others is we need to be exposed to the gifts of others to allow their gifts to minister to us. Because in doing that, we realize what is my gift and what is not my gift. And specifically, are we speaking about those motivational gifts? I suppose it holds for the broader gifts as well, but for the motivational gifts, it's it especially. So that's the one area, the one little flashing light that should go on maybe some of our lives in the area of the people who we're praying for, some of their lives, just pray that they would click, that they would come into the body so that they can embrace their gift. And we carry on. Verse 19. I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. An enormous eye or gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. The second thing that is a hindrance to us embracing the gifts of others in a leadership way is thinking our gift is more important than their gift. It's thinking our gift is more valuable than their gift. And that's so important. One of those things about being in a team that God taught me, when you're in a team, I need every single person in this team to play to the best of their ability, for us as a team to be the best team. And the way I play, I must trust God for my play to complement my teammate's play. And if I understand how he plays, I had a friend who I started playing hockey together, standard 3, was at grade 5, played for the same club, same school, all the way through until the end of matric. You know, by the end of matric, we knew what the other guy was up to. You don't need to shout and yell. I know exactly what's going on in his mind when he makes that break. When he's running that angle or that line, I know exactly where I must put the ball at what pace for him to be able to get there. But I need to embrace his gift. I need to know what he can do and what he can't do. I need to know it's better in this situation for him to have the ball than for me to have the ball. Because this little thing, he's better at this than I am. That little thing I'm better at, and he knows that I'm better at that, but I know he's better at this. Embracing one another's gifts. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand. In other words, my gift out of proportion isn't a body. It's a monster. The second thing we need to trust God for, and we're going to see this as we carry on, to walk and to grow in humility. Scripture requires us to, each of us, esteem others better than ourselves. Say, that gift that you have, I must create room for that gift, because the body needs that gift. As a church, we need that thing that's inside of you. I must step back because I'm crowding your space, and I need to step back to give you space to allow that thing which is precious to grow. And that's something that only God can do inside of us. Only He can show us the importance and the significance of the gift of the people that He places around us. What we have is one body with many parts. Each its proper size and its proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, get lost, I don't need you? Or head telling foot, you're fired, your job has been phased out. As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's part of your own body you are concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or visible, okay? It's like the previous pastor, most of you won't know because he left before, I think a lot of you came, his name was Ross. When he was a little child, he had a little speech impediment, and he couldn't say R or S. And his name was Ross. What's your name? Ruth. But Ross, man. But praise the Lord, God healed him, and now he's a great orator. And he can pronounce his name. I couldn't say R either until one day we were praying in Golden Gate. I think I was about 10 or 12, I can't remember exactly. We were praying Buravors. And I said, Buravors. And my mom turned around and her eyes were this big. Because all of a sudden I could say R, and I could never say R before. And there was a momentous moment in our mother's life, which has got nothing to do with anything. Where were we? When it's part of your own body you're concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. That's the third thing we need to draw attention to this evening. Beware of comparisons. Comparisons lead to the biggest pitfall many Christians walk in, many people walk in. I get to that now. But what is the problem with comparisons? When we draw comparisons, will almost always do one of two things. I either compare my weakness with your strength. I say, oh, man, I wish I could do that. I can't do that. Maybe Calvin's playing guitar and you know you're not musical at all, and you say, I can't serve God because I can't play guitar. In an extreme example, I'm taking my weakness and comparing it to somebody else's strength, and that creates inferiority. Alternatively, I take my strength and I compare it to somebody else's weakness, and that leads to pride. There's an area where I'm good at. Maybe I'm focused on detail and there's somebody else and they're not focused on detail at all, and I think I'm better than them because they can't even focus on the detail. That thing with, in comparison, almost always works in that way. We don't compare our strengths with somebody else's strengths. We don't say, you know, I can really encourage people. When someone is down, God's really just given me an ability to lift them up, and Calvin, he's really got an ability to play music. We don't compare in that way with one another. We don't look at what has God given me and what has God given Calvin. And I'm talking about metaphorically as if me is you. You're getting what I'm saying? You are the one with a gift to encourage somebody. Calvin, as an example, is a gift. He can play his guitar pretty well. Why are you laughing, right? We don't say, I can do this and Calvin can do this. If we did, that would be embracing our gifts. Most of us say, I can't do this, but Calvin can. Comparing our weaknesses to his strength, to someone else's strength, or comparing our strengths to their weaknesses, and that leads to pride. The big danger, the big pitfall of comparison leads to imitation. If I compare myself to you, I'm saying I want to be like you. If that is the standard to which I'm aspiring, then I'm imitating somebody else, their gifting, their ability, their motivational gift that God has placed inside of it. And by doing that, I'm denying what God has placed inside of me. I'm not allowing me to become me because I'm trying to become somewhere else. And we see that often in the ministry when it comes to people speaking, they want to be Louis Giglio, or they want to be Reinhard Bonnke, or they want to be Fred May. And obviously there's much we can learn and glean from them and take, but it's important to take it and trust God for that which is mine, to become mine, to be inspired by great men, great women. Please do that. Have examples you look up to. But there's a difference having an example you look up to and somebody you're imitating to become like them. Paul says it so beautifully. He says, imitate me, not to be like me, but in the way I'm following Christ. I'm following God with everything I have, and you can follow me in that, but don't be like me. Be like Jesus. And it's so important for each one of us, beware of comparisons. Comparisons lead to big pitfalls. If anything, you have more concern. Remember, we're speaking about the body of Christ, looking at our body as an example of the body of Christ, with an understanding that God has put our body together to tell us something about the body of Christ. And he's speaking here about my stomach and the rest of my body. I could see my stomach, he's saying, but still I give my stomach honor. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full bodied hair? Some ladies wouldn't, but most of us would. Wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full bodied hair? We can see the hair. The hair makes it glamorous, but that digestion makes it alive. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. Another big danger, or the fourth thing to be aware of when it comes to this, what causes us not to embrace others is not to be exposed to their gifts. Not to place ourselves in a position where they get hurt, I get hurt as well. Where they get excited, I get excited as well. I make their gift, I embrace their gift, and I trust God to see the value of their gift. And it's actually not a stupid example. But if on a day like today, the sound man wakes up and he's sick, you know, we don't see him, they're always sitting there in the back little corner there. and we forget about them. But if he wakes up sick and he doesn't come to church, do you know what? There's no church today. Or if there is, we're going to arrive and we're all suddenly going to run around to try and make this thing happen. Because the guy who we forget about often, who was here after yesterday sitting up, as they are most Saturdays, we don't see him, but he's crucial to the functioning of the body. That's exactly what it's saying here. Different gifts, different things. There are some of you who come to the office and you just phone people. Just invite them to sell, just to follow up. Nobody sees it, but you know that's crucial to the life of what's going on here. Some of you never tell us about it, but you're praying in your room regularly and you're praying and you're interceding for the vision and the church and the people God wants to heal and save and for First Aid camps and for outreaches and for missions. You're integral and you're a vital part of this body, whether we see you or whether we don't. And actually, the least important things are probably the band standing up here, myself, the things we see. They're a lot less important than a whole bunch of the other stuff happening in church life. And I want to encourage you and commend you guys who serve so faithfully in that. Every other part enters into exuberance. Next slide. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. You're familiar with some of the parts that God has formed in His church, which is His body. Those are the apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, organizers. And I love this. God gave helpers and organizers to His church. He gave miracle workers and apostles, but He also gave helpers and organizers. Those who pray in tongues. But it's obvious by now, isn't it, that Christ's church is a complete body and not a gigantic unidimensional part. And this is where the doctrine gets a little bit, just misses it a little bit. It's not all apostle, not all prophet, not all miracle worker, not all healer, not all prayer in tongues, not all interpreter of tongues. And yet some of you keep competing for so-called important parts. But now I want to lay out a far better way. And there I love what he says again. These things that we see are not the important parts. The things that we don't see are probably the more important parts. So turn to your neighbor again and say, you make me special. And then, in closing, two scriptures. What is the purpose of this whole body? What is the purpose of us bringing people, letting them grow together in their gifts, whether as individuals, understanding our own gifts better, or whether as leaders, looking at the gifts of the people that God brings into our lives so we can develop and encourage those gifts? What's the purpose of all of that? Is it just so we can die having lived and been a better me? Is it just so I can write on my gravestone, Philip was the best G he could be? This is the best Philip Wilson that ever lived. You know, is that the purpose of my life? Is that the purpose of these gifts and growing and encouraging those gifts? I want to submit two purposes for us, to us. 1 Peter 4. As each one has received a gift, here we say it again, do it. Minister it to one another. Don't keep it to yourself. As good stewards of the manifold, the multiple, the diverse, the broad grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak to the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it to the ability which God supplies. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him, whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. What is the purpose? Why do we do this? Because Scripture says, in this, God is glorified. Yes, God is glorified in a sense when we come and we sing glory to God forever. But you know, Scripture says God is also glorified when all things come together and we all supply with the ability that we have. And I just want to throw in here, I wasn't planning on doing this all, but I'm going to throw it in. And this is going to sound funny, but it's actually the truth. Like when people come to our house, Scripture says it's good to serve. Amen? So as a leader, I must create opportunities for people to serve. Because how can we serve if there aren't opportunities? So when people come and visit and they want to wash our dishes, I see that as me giving them an opportunity to serve. Okay. Amen? Okay. But anyway, tongue in cheek. But seriously, when it comes to church, next year we're going to do exactly that. most of the services on a Sunday, we're going to have the same message in the evening and in the morning. Why is that? Because we want to create opportunities for us to serve. The idea is that you pick a service and you say, I'm going to go to the evening service or the morning service, and the other one, you still come, but you come to serve. You come to be in the band, or to be in the sound desk, or just to be in the room next door and pray through the whole service. We want to do that next year, just have people praying throughout the whole service, so that when we come and sit there, we know that people are praying for us. And tonight, when they come and sit here, we're praying for them. And we make just every new visitor welcome. We step up the level of what we're doing in church. This is God wants to send more people, because there are a whole bunch of things that are happening, because next year there's a potential problem. Because on the 17th of January 2010 there's a first year service. We don't know how many first years are going to come to the service, and we've only got the first years for a time slot of 2 hours, a little bit more. But anyway, if, as projections show, there are between 200 and 300 first years coming on the first year's camp, which will be awesome. Amen. It's a good place to say amen, because that's just looking at the way registrations are going, that's sort of where we're heading. And some of them decide the camp was cool, I'm going to take a friend with to church on that Sunday. That means all of you are coming to church, plus an additional, for argument's sake, 500 people. Potential problem. Great problem, but potential problem. So my head's spinning, looking at sound systems we can put on the grass here, so we can put up a big screen for the video camera at the back there. We're just moving the whole church just onto the field for that day. We don't quite know. But the great thing is, if we have everyone buying into and saying, I've got this little gift and my little gift adds so much value. Silly example, Michael sitting here is doing an incredible service to all of us right now. Reading the slides, being able to follow during the worship. We were at a conference, a fantastic international band, some of the best musicians, not just Christian musicians, Grammy Award winning musicians, at a conference, awesome worship. And you know, I stood there with James, who's the worship coordinator for the whole, for all of the Shofar family churches, and Calvin was there as well. So we were standing there and we were going, this is really cool worship. I wish I could sing along, but I don't have a clue what the words are, because their screens aren't working. And I'm singing there and trying to catch the tune or whatever. And we sometimes miss how integral little functions like this are, how vital they are to the flowing of a service, and especially if our focus is on reaching new people. If we all hear and we all know the songs, it's not important. But if we bring in friends, we trust in God for salvation to come, then with these little things become crucially important. The band can come up while we read the last scripture for this evening. Another purpose. Paul says, I'm a great leader, not in an arrogant way, but I understand people are different, function in different ways, have different giftings. Luke travels with me and he works in this way, and Barnabas travels with me and he works in this way, and we go and we minister to people. And when we go to people, we understand, because they are all different culturally, motivationally, language. For though I'm free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all, that I might win them all. To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might, by all means, save some. You know the other reason why we need each to bring our gifts to the party, to embrace the body, is so that we can, by all means, save some. Different people are going to get saved in different ways. I was so encouraged this morning with Michal, having Michal minister the word. A different style, a different way of doing it, but you know what? Such a blessed way. Because the way he did it may speak to some of us in a way that I never could. It might touch some of our heartstrings in ways that I could never. Because he's got different giftings and different abilities, a different way of speaking and a different approach. And we need that manifold grace of God to be able to fulfill the purposes of God. Can we all stand this evening? Father, I want to thank you, God, for every one of these people before us. God, I want to thank you for every leader you have placed here, Lord. Jesus, I thank you that you have called us to lead, to be difference, to let our light shine amongst men. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone here, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will take off the glasses of the world that we have on. God, cause us to see through your eyes. Father, give us an ability to see the gifts that you've placed in us, Lord God, in our lives, to embrace ourselves, Lord God, not to strive to be somebody else that you haven't created us to be, God, but to be who you have created me to be. And Father, in the same way, I pray that we would see the gifts you have placed in the people standing next to us, living around us, cell with us, in company and class with us, Lord God. Lord, that as we embrace the gifts, Lord Jesus, that you may cause your glory to shine in and through their lives, God. That we may create room for them to minister their gift to the body. And while our eyes are closed, our heads bowed, I want to ask a specific question here. I'd like to pray with some people. Maybe you're here this evening and you say, Philip, it's great becoming part of this body thing and part of the body of Christ. But if I'm honest with myself, I don't even know if I know Jesus. Heard about him and I enjoyed church and coming to church, but I've never had my life turned around by living encounter with Jesus Christ. Just now when everybody was singing and shouting, I know there was something going on, but it wasn't my spirit, wasn't going on as well. This evening I'd love to pray with you, because the Bible says very clearly that something inside of you needs to be made alive again. It speaks about it as if being born a second time. Because the truth is, as you stand here today, as I stand here today, we are all sinful before God, deserving punishment. But He gave Jesus to take our punishment for us. And the Bible says, as we embrace that, Jesus saves us and He makes our lives inside of us come alive again. So while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just want everyone forgetting about the person around them. If you're here this evening and you know that your relationship with Jesus isn't right, you don't have a relationship with Him, this evening you want to make right with God. You want to just come to Jesus and allow Him to make life alive inside of you. Wherever you are, I just quickly want you to raise your hand and say, Philip, that's me. Please pray with me too. Wherever you're standing, you don't need to be embarrassed. This isn't to shame you. This is just, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to share with you. Maybe your heart's beating really fast right now. It's like a tug of war going on. That's exactly what it is. On the one hand, there's God standing, knocking on the door of your life, saying, if you open the door, I'll come in and we're going to eat together. We're going to have a meal. We're going to have a party together. And on the other side, there's the ways of the world that are pulling you down, and you're saying, but what about this and what about that? I'll come if I sort that out. Jesus wants to say to you, no, you can't sort it out by yourself. Come to Jesus and He will sort it. So I'm going to ask one more time, if there's anybody like that here this evening, wherever you are standing, just raise your hand. We want to pray with you just to commit your life to Jesus. To anybody like that? And then there's a second group of people I want to pray with. If you're here this evening and you don't know who you are. When I was speaking about these gifts and I was speaking about that which God has placed inside of us, you don't even know where to start. You're so confused, so just, you don't even know whether left or right, whether you're Arthur or Martha. This evening we want to pray with you. We want to trust God to bring clarity in that area of the Spirit. To bring a deliverance, to set you free from that confusion, to set you free from that need to try and be like somebody else, just to be you. And we're going to sing that song again. I want to sing this, like, Glory to God song. And as we sing that, if God's been speaking to you in this area specifically, I want you to come forward and we'd love to pray with you. If that's you, you can come forward. You can stand on my left hand side, your right hand side, and we're going to pray with you. And then there's some people here that God's been speaking to you about standing up as a leader, about having your eyes just touched to be able to make a difference in the people around you's lives, to look at them through God's eyes, to create that room for you to grow. If God's been stirring that desire in your heart, then I want you to come and stand on this side, and we're going to pray with you, and we're going to trust God to break the thing in your spirit and to release it, to birth, like Jesus was a leader, to birth that leadership inside of you, in which you're going to draw others and lead them unto you. So if you just need direction in the who you are, you can come on this side and we're going to pray with you. And if God's speaking to you about being a leader and about just making a difference in the lives of the people around you, just come and stand on this side and we're going to pray for you. We're going to trust God to make that difference. So Father, we thank you this evening for time well spent in your presence, God, time not wasted. Time, God, having our spirits built up around you and around your presence. Jesus, our desire is your presence in every facet of our lives. And Jesus, I thank you this evening that as we close, God, we just want to say glory to God forever and in all things. Father, I want to bless your people with the knowledge of your truth and of your wisdom, of your way. Lead and guide them, Father, in this week in Jesus. Amen. If you need to go, you're welcome to go. If you want to stay with us and worship, please do that. There's coffee and tea outside. You're welcome to have some coffee and tea. We're just going to spend time worshiping and praying with these people. If you need prayer, even if it's something else as well, you can come forward. We'll pray with you, whatever your prayer request. Please don't leave without us having prayed for you. You've got a prayer need. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a fantastic week. See you next week. Amen.